The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and we'll begin with this one from First for Women. Don't miss, strategy wards off food illness. Lettuce is a common victim of recalls due to foodborne illness contaminating the leafy greens. To stay safe, pop lettuce in the fridge as soon as possible after buying it, and never leave salads at room temperature for more than 2 hours. In a University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign study, E. coli levels dipped when researchers refrigerated romaine, leaf lettuce, and spinach, and increased under warm and room temperatures. They note that since the greens are often eaten raw, people can easily be infected if lettuce is not washed and stored properly. From Good Housekeeping, Parenting While Blind. I lost my sight when my daughter was an infant, but a supportive community, a few ingenious tools, and a whole lot of patience have made raising her my biggest joy. Here are a few snippets from our life together. I haven't always been blind. When my wife was pregnant, I developed a cataract that prevented me from driving at night. And when my daughter was 3 weeks old, I underwent cataract surgery. Unfortunately, I had a bad reaction to post-surgery medications, and the once clear window I had seen out of was replaced with a blurry pinhole. At first, I couldn't help but feel sorry for myself. How could I possibly contribute to raising my daughter? But over the years, I've learned that I can do much more than I initially imagined. Parenting While Blind has presented my family and me with more than a few unique challenges, but as any other parent can probably understand, I've learned that there's always a solution to a problem, even if you have to adapt over time. One of my earliest conundrums was how to keep my daughter safe during our trips to a neighborhood park without my wife. At first, the fear of losing track of her amid the joyful sounds of children playing was overwhelming, but I was determined to create a secure and carefree childhood for her. After racking my brain for solutions, I turned to an internet support group for blind parents to get suggestions. Their idea? Put bells on her shoes. Those jingles allowed me to keep tabs on my little one amid the laughter and babble of other children, and the ringing became a harmonious soundtrack for our many fun-filled afternoons outside. As my daughter grew, our communication method got even more creative. We introduced a call-and-response system, akin to an out-of-the-pool version of Marco Polo. A simple shout of cupcake would summon her from behind the trees, and in return, I had to abandon my favorite hiding spots when she called out pizza. The bells and our special nicknames made us quite a memorable sight in the park, and our having a silly secret language has fostered a close connection between us that we enjoy to this day. From the beginning, my sighted wife and I wanted to send the message to our daughter that her parents both played an active role in her upbringing. That meant figuring out ways in which I could be an equal partner in household duties. Enter bump dots. These textured stickers are one of the most relied upon tools in making a home accessible for a blind person, and they changed our lives. We put stickers on the buttons of the oven, the dishwasher, and many other household appliances to allow me to do chores independently. For example, on our washer and dryer, square stickers mean permanent press, flat circles indicate delicates, and rough squares are for sanitary cleaning. We developed some ingenious solutions for cooking, too. In my household, spices play a big role in our meals, and we have an extensive collection of them that would require far too many bump dots to make sense. For these, we use near-field communication, or NFC, stickers, and the Way Around app. With my phone, I can program and scan these stickers, which are equipped with a miniature computer chip to instantly access detailed information about each spice. For instance, the nutmeg label not only identifies the spice, but also contains the full recipe for pumpkin spice, so I can satisfy my pumpkin spice latte cravings at any time. As for meal planning, my wife's cooking blog plays a pivotal role. This online resource serves as our shared cookbook, allowing us to prepare meals using the same recipes. Leveraging various accessibility tools, I can swiftly navigate the website and replicate my wife's culinary creations. In the early days of my blindness, I relied on a tabletop-sized standalone magnifier for tasks like reviewing school worksheets. One of the initial challenges I encountered with that method was when my daughter began learning to read. Even with flashcard-sized text, the process of scanning my limited field of vision over each word, letter by letter, proved time-consuming. The introduction of free apps, such as Microsoft's Seeing AI and Be My Eyes, full disclosure, I work at Microsoft, marked a significant shift. These apps are equipped with AI-assisted sight services to narrate surroundings, which revolutionized my interaction with the visual world. In 2015, Seeing AI added color identification that revealed the true hues of items, correcting my perception. The next year, the app unveiled a handwriting mode that was a game changer. It allowed me to read and assist my then 5-year-old with all her written homework. Weekends became opportunities for joint math sessions on Khan Academy, leveraging the built-in accessibility features on her iPad. Activating VoiceOver allowed both of us to engage with the material, providing assistance to her budding reading skills while accommodating my visual impairment. As for my own leisure reading, I've been using the National Library Service's Talking Book program to read at least a book a month. As my daughter has gotten older, she has even recommended books for me to read. Talking about the same book we're both reading, predicting the ending, and complaining about annoying characters has become one of the most joyous parts of my mornings. As a blind parent, each day is a journey. I'm lucky to be supported by a spouse who actively engages in finding accessible solutions to our challenges, even ones that make us laugh. Once I put a diaper on backward with disastrous results. My ability to ask for help and the patience to work through challenges that I've developed has made our relationship even stronger. My daughter is 11 now, and I shudder to think about one of the next rites of passage, driving. The struggle is not because I'm blind, but because teenagers rarely enjoy getting traffic tips from their parents. But because we have a history of adapting together, I know that we'll be able to figure it out. My daughter still has many milestones ahead of her, and it has been from the beginning. I'm proud to just be along for the ride. And this was written by Samir Doshi, author of The Work Ahead. So I'll spell his last name, D-O-S-H-I. He's a humorist, a technologist, and a DevOps enthusiast. Employed at Microsoft, he lives in a flyover state, and in his free time he annoys his wife and kids with jokes. He writes under the name Samir Chopra, C-H-O-P-R-A. From First for Women, 10 Brilliant Uses for Orange Peels, Genius Ways to Recycle the Throwaways. 1. Ease stress in a flash. Soaking in a steamy bath is your favorite way to unwind at the end of a long day. To make it even more relaxing, tear up the peels from an orange or two and toss them into the water. The scent of citrus triggers the release of calming brain chemicals that amp up the awe. Next, easily trap fruit flies. What better way to catch the pesky critters than with the thing they love most? To make your own trap, grab a large yogurt container, an orange peel, a hammer, and a nail. Poke holes in the lid of the yogurt container using the nail and hammer. Place the orange peel inside and snap on the lid. Leave it where the flies tend to gather. The orange's sweet smell will attract them inside the container, but they won't be able to fly back out. Dispose of the trap after a day or once full. Get a fire started fast. You love curling up next to a fire on chilly spring nights. If only it didn't take so long to get the flames going. Next time, try this. Let the peels from a few oranges dry out for several hours. Toss them into the fireplace and carefully light them. The oils in citrus peels are flammable, and they'll catch faster than a newspaper. You'll be enjoying your fire in no time. And keep brown sugar clump free. No matter how well you seal the box of brown sugar in your pantry, it always ends up hardening into one big clump. To prevent this from happening, place an orange peel inside the container with the sugar, natural oils in the peel. Slowly release moisture to keep the sugar soft and lump free without affecting the flavor. And as a note, replace the peel monthly. Next, lift ink stains from skin. Thanks to an exploded pen, your hands are now covered in ink, and soap and water aren't doing the trick. To the rescue, orange peels. Rub the white side of the peels onto the discolored areas and watch the stains disappear. The natural oils in the peel will attract the oils in the ink, weakening the pigment's bond with the skin for easy removal. Problem solved. Nix soap scum on glassware. You're setting the table for a dinner party when you notice your wine glasses are looking cloudy. The save. Fill the sink with warm water and a few orange peels. Let glasses soak for 5 minutes, then rinse with warm water. The peels of oranges contain citric acid that cuts through soap scum and mineral deposits. The result? Clear wine glasses that are sparkling. Uncover radiant, glowing skin. Skin looking dull? Try this DIY face mask. Grate the peel of an orange and mix it with 1/4 cup canola oil. Rub the mixture onto your face. Let it sit on skin for 1 minute, then rinse. The peel bits gently scrub away dead skin, and the oil adds moisture for a healthy glow. Next, remove a splinter effortlessly. Ouch! While sweeping the deck, you got a splinter in your foot. Make removal of the tiny wood sliver a cinch with this trick. Tape a piece of an orange peel, white side down, over the splinter and leave it on for 30 minutes. The enzymes in the peel will seep into the skin and encourage the splinter to move toward the surface for easy plucking. Wow! Soothe an itchy bug bite. That hike in the woods was great, but now you have a couple of mosquito bites to show for it, and the itchiness is driving you crazy. The save? Reach for an orange peel. Simply rub the inside of the peel against the inflamed area. The peel is full of citric acid, which is known to reduce itching, plus polysaccharides, which seep into skin cells to halt swelling. Who knew? And the last one, protect plants from cats. If your cat loves digging in your potted greenery, stop her antics by sprinkling a few orange peels on top of the soil once a week. The scent of citrus is too intense for a cat's sense of smell, so your kitten will quickly stay clear. From Good Housekeeping, Stories from the Heart. Authors with disabilities draw on their life experiences in these must-read children's books. So here are 4 recommendations. It says our guest editor wrote a book. So that would be this one called Cut Loose by Allie Stroker and Stacy Davidovitz. It's Stroker and Stacy Davidovitz, Davidowitz. A 13-year-old dreams of landing the lead role in the school musical, but she thinks she'll be overlooked for the part because she uses a wheelchair. And if she does get cast, will classmates assume it was based on her disability rather than her talent? Stroker, who was the first actor in a wheelchair to win a Tony Award, reflected on her childhood to co-author a gripping novel that's packed both with theater references and insights about accessibility in schools. It's for ages 8 to 12. A Day with No Words by Tiffany Hammond, Hammond, illustrated by Kate Cosgrove, Cosgrove. This lyrical story, which underscores that nonverbal children are just as intelligent as everyone else, follows a mother and her son through their day. The boy, who has autism, uses a tablet to communicate with others who fully accept his method of speaking. A situation in which an unkind adult calls the boy handicapped is perfectly addressed. Author Hammond and her two sons all have autism. This is for ages 4 to 8. I Am a Masterpiece by Mia Armstrong, Armstrong, illustrated by Alexandra Thompson, Thompson. Armstrong, a child actor and an activist, offers an invaluable window into the joys and challenges of having Down syndrome. When a teacher asks her class to create self-portraits for back-to-school night, she draws how she feels rather than how she looks. Classmates are rude at first, but they quickly come around, and her parents couldn't be prouder of her self-acceptance. They love me exactly as I am, which means I can be who I am. This is for ages 4 to 8 as well. And the last, I Talk Like a River by Jordan Scott, S-C-O-T-T, illustrated by Sydney Smith, S-M-I-T-H. A Canadian poet has crafted a poignant story about a boy who is learning to embrace his stutter. After a particularly bad day, the boy's dad takes him for a walk along the river. "See how the water moves?" his dad asks. "That's how you speak." The realization that he talks like a river brings the boy comfort and makes him feel connected with nature. This one, too, is for ages 4 through 8. From First for Women, tune in. Music fans will rejoice over Bon Jovi's new docu-series, Thank You, Good Night. This began airing on Hulu April 26th. Fun four-part series looks at the band's origins, trials and tribulations, and even Bon Jovi's recent vocal surgery. And Escape to 1969 Palm Beach in the new comedy series Palm Royale, starring Kirsten Wiig, Laura Dern, Allison Janney, and more. The show follows Maxine Simmons, played by Wiig, as she breaks into high society. You can start streaming it now on Apple TV Plus, if you have it. From Real Simple, appointment pointers. The doctor will see you now, or at least soon, assuming you get around to scheduling that checkup. Here are some tips. Take to the internet. Hate sitting on the phone? Try booking through ZocDoc, a healthcare platform that lets you search for primary care practitioners, OBGYNs, eye doctors, and other specialists. You can filter by insurance, location, gender, and earliest availability. Then read reviews, schedule an appointment, and add it to your calendar, all while waiting in line at the bank. Accept a far-off appointment. Book today, and you likely won't be going in this week or maybe even this month. Wait times for appointments are up across the board. The average wait time for an OBGYN appointment has increased to 31.4 days. So go ahead and get your name in the queue. Once you're on the books, it may be easier to get your appointment moved up. They might be able to fit you in earlier if there's a cancellation. See a physician assistant, known as a PA, or a nurse practitioner. For more immediate needs, say you have symptoms that could indicate a UTI, urinary tract infection, ask if you can be treated sooner by one of these trained clinicians who can order lab work, diagnose issues, and prescribe meds. Book strategically. To cut down on waiting room time, avoid Tuesday mid-morning, the most commonly requested window for appointments. Whichever day you choose, the most efficient slot is probably the earliest. It's easier to start on time than it is to stay on time. Your provider may be fresher in the morning, too. Research indicates patients with morning appointments received more orders for breast and colon cancer screenings than those who came in at the end of the day. Own your own anxiety. A time-honored yet self-sabotaging thought loop: if I don't go to the doctor, they can't find anything wrong. But postponing just increases the chance that any existing problems will worsen, and the more your anxiety grows. If you can step back and see this self-reinforcing cycle, it loses some of its power. And last, set yourself up for success. Before you leave the office, while you're still writing an I did it hi, get your next appointment on the books. Put it on your calendar and make a deal with yourself that you will not cancel. So, from First for Women, oops, maybe if I can get to it here. In Focus, cherries, easy ideas, salsa it up. Mix a pound of pitted cherries, diced, with a quarter cup diced red onion, one diced jalapeno, 2 tablespoons lime. Wait a minute, I got lost. Red onion, 1 diced jalapeno, the juice of a lime, 2 tablespoons minced cilantro, and a pinch of salt. Cover, chill for an hour. How about a barbecue blast? Puree 2 pounds pitted cherries with 1 18-ounce bottle of barbecue sauce. Transfer to a pot. Simmer over medium-low heat until thick, 30 minutes. Brush onto ribs or pork chops. Sweet spot. Pour 2 pounds pitted cherries in a 13x9 baking dish. Top with 1 package of yellow cake mix and 1/2 cup melted butter. Melt it. Bake at 350 for an hour. Then serve with ice cream. From Good Housekeeping, Meal Prep Magic. Set yourself up for success all week by stocking your fridge with extra protein. Double the batch of chicken and stash leftovers in the fridge for up to 4 days. Wondering how to use it up? Mix with rice, halved cherry tomatoes, and chopped cucumbers, and drizzle with your favorite vinaigrette. Stuff into tortillas with grated Monterey Jack and pickled jalapenos, then cook on the griddle. Top with salsa and sour cream. Spread French bread with barbecue sauce, then top with mozzarella, chopped chicken, cilantro, and red onion. Bake until golden brown and bubbly. Or add to pita along with roasted onions, pickles, and tzatziki. From Real Simple, ground chicken and green bean stir fry. Active time is 25 minutes, total time also 25. This serves 4. Quick cooking, make ahead, dairy-free and gluten-free. All right. We need 1 cup jasmine rice, that's white rice, 3 tablespoons oyster sauce, 2 tablespoons soy sauce or tamari, 2 tablespoons mirin, 1 tablespoon chopped fresh garlic from about 3 cloves, 1 tablespoon sliced fresh red Fresno chili, that one's optional, 3 tablespoons neutral oil, such as canola, divided, 12 ounces of fresh green beans, trimmed, 2 orange bell peppers, sliced, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, divided, and 1 pound ground chicken. Cook rice according to package directions. Meanwhile, whisk oyster sauce, soy sauce, mirin, garlic, and if you're using it, chili, in a small bowl. Heat 2 tablespoons oil in a large wok or skillet over medium-high until simmering. Add beans and bell peppers. Sprinkle with 1/4 teaspoon salt. Cook, stirring occasionally until browned and in spots and crisp tender, 4 to 5 minutes. Transfer to a bowl. Reduce heat to medium and add remaining 1 tablespoon oil to skillet. Add chicken and sprinkle with remaining 1/2 teaspoon salt. Cook, stirring occasionally to break chicken into crumbles until browned, 5 to 6 minutes. Return beans and bell peppers to the skillet and pour in soy sauce mixture. Increase heat to medium-high. Cook, stirring until sauce is slightly thickened and coats chicken and vegetables about 1 minute. Serve with rice. From First for Women, tasty disguise for Fido's pills. Getting your pet to take their medication can be a nightmare. Luckily, hiding any pills in pill pockets saves you a furry standoff. To make your own pill pockets, combine 1/4 cup of water, 1/4 cup of dog-friendly peanut butter, meaning it has no xylitol or birch sugar, which are both poisonous to dogs, and 1/2 cup of oat flour in a bowl and mix well. Roll the dough into small balls, indenting the center for a pill. You can refrigerate them for up to a week or freeze them for 6 months. Just bring them back to room temperature before giving to Fido. From First for Women, planking for peak health. When it comes to building core strength, crunches have fallen out of favor and the plank is now considered the gold standard. The plank is such a powerhouse of an exercise, people think of it as a core exercise, but it's really a full body exercise. You're using your core and your back extensors to hold you in place, and you're engaging your quads and glutes and testing your upper body strength. Doing the exercise 3 times a week has even found to enhance a function of key immune cells, respiratory capacity, and physical fitness in older adults, according to a study in a 2023 issue of Journal for Exercise Rehabilitation. So, can you hold a plank for 30 seconds? This test is based on the standard plank, forearms on the floor as opposed to a high plank with palms on the floor, which can be hard on your wrists. So get down into a kneeling position on the floor. Place your forearms flat on the floor with your palms on the floor or your hands in fists, positioning your elbows under your shoulders. As you press up onto your toes, raising your body off the floor, pull your kneecaps up and feel your quads and glutes engage. If you widen your stance, it's a little easier than if you keep your feet close together. Your body should be in a long, straight line like the plank of wood, from your head to your raised heels. Keep your gaze toward the floor ahead of you. As a tip, don't sag in your shoulders or let them visit your ears, and don't hike your hips up or let them sag. Try to hold the plank for 30 seconds with good form. If it was easy for you, well, pat yourself on the back. Gradually increase your plank time, working up to holding it for a full minute with proper form. To make it harder, once you can hold a plank with good form for a full minute, try holding it even longer or doing alternate leg lifts, raising one leg at a time. Another option, lift your leg, tap your toes to one side, then the other, and repeat that for a minute. If it was too challenging, don't beat yourself up. Hold the plank for 10 to 15 seconds, or try a modified plank with your forearms on a coffee table, or dropping your knees and shins to the floor. Then to build your strength, work up to doing planks by practicing the bird dog exercise. Start on your hands and knees on the floor, hands directly under the shoulders, knees under hips. Gaze toward the floor, head in line with your spine, and extend your right arm straight out in front of you and your left leg straight behind you. Hold for a count of 5, then return to a starting position. Repeat with the opposite arm and leg extended. Do 5 on each side. After doing these for a few weeks, try the plank again. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired, and available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. For comments and questions, please call 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.